I don't know about you, Steve, but I love a good home reno show.
You know, because I can't do anything myself, Lauren, I have to watch it on TV. So yes, I love that too. Fixer Upper, all those.
I love Fixer Upper. Okay. So if you've watched any HGTV, you know that a lot of what they do is tear down walls to create this much coveted open floor plan. You've seen this, right?
Yes, of course. I love the open floor plan. Just no walls at all. Why have walls?
This is actually what's happening though, okay? So people say they love it. It allows them to cook dinner and watch their kids in the living room, this kind of thing. But today, open floor plans have become so ubiquitous that now there's actually even a parody of it on YouTube.
This spring, HGTV is proud to bring you a new, original, groundbreaking home renovation show.
Three words for you guys: open floor plan.
We'll keep you guessing what kind of makeover we'll do next. Will we add a wall or tear one down? You'll have to watch to find out. Open floor plan, because seriously, it's all we do at HGTV.
So Kate Wagner, though, wants to end the tyranny of these open floor plans. That's right. She is making the case for rooms in a new piece for CityLab. Wagner is the author of the architectural blog McMansion Hell. And when I spoke with her, we started with a little bit of the history here. When did this idea of open floor plans really begin?
Well, it kind of depends on who you're talking about. So for wealthy people, people who are kind of in the social and economic elite, open floor plans started to become more popular, or at least they started to be a thing, I would say maybe the mid to late 19th century, because architectural styles had progressed in a way that favored more continuous spaces. But for everyday people, the open floor plans became more popular starting in the late 20th century. Partially for reasons of technological advancement, where it became less expensive to create spaces with large interior volumes. Open floor plans kind of were always a luxury item. They were sort of symbolic of control and power. And I mean, if you think about it, if you've ever gone into like an old bank, for example, it's just this big, open, vacuous space. And churches are kind of the same way. So it's this sort of similar tide in aesthetic or ideology that only became really accessible to pretty much everyone else, starting maybe in the 1950s and 60s with mid-century modernism, and then becoming common by the 1980s and 90s.
I think you just touched on this a little bit, but you say that the story of common houses is a story of walls. So with that change, why do you think it's important that there are no longer walls in this way?
I mean, it's interesting. I think that in a sociological and sort of cultural context, we've become less private, or as not private as possible, if you think about it. Everything we do, whether it's on social media or just as people, all of our information, everything is so open. There is a kind of loss of privacy, both culturally across the board and also in these houses. And it's kind of this rhetoric, I would think, where people say, well, I have nothing to hide. And that's kind of the reasoning with open floor plans, too. It's like, here is just all of my space, and you can just sort of see it all at once. And it's really sort of cloaked in this rhetoric of labor saving, where everything is accessible by foot. It's everything. You can see everything. It's so much easier. You don't have to open and close a door. But in reality, it really is just like a lack of privacy. And I think that that is just kind of evolved from maybe subconscious cultural changes.
So now, you said that you thought that this sort of phase of the open floor plan would fade like other phases and trends in home design do, but it hasn't still. Why not? What do you think is behind that?
I mean, if you think about it, the way that home trends change is mostly market driven. And I don't know if you've ever seen HGTV recently, but they're still tearing down walls. Builders are still building new houses with open floor plans. It's just something that, not to sound like a conspiracy or anything, but people come up with these concepts to sell them to home buyers and builders. And it's still a concept that is very much being sold. And so it just keeps happening. And it's still on trend. But what's interesting to me is that even the open floor plans of the 1990s, which my parents' house sort of belongs to, are less open than the ones that are being built today. For example, I recently went to somebody's house when I was visiting my parents. And it's a beautiful house of kind of classic farmhouse style aesthetic. I mean, it is, the first story is just completely open. There's no separation between the breakfast nook, the kitchen, the living room, the dining room, the reading room. It's just there are almost no walls. In fact, there are no walls. It's only just kind of a skeleton. And it was really shocking to me because I'd never been in a house that was like that before.
So it's getting more open, not less.
Yeah, I would say that that's true. And I thought it would close for one reason and one reason only. So recently, in the last 10 years, historical houses or houses that are made to look more historical or like have a cohesive aesthetic rather than like sort of the McMansion pastiche of different styles were becoming more popular. And I thought that that would mean that that would translate into the interiors, but that certainly hasn't been the case, surprisingly. And so I think that there is starting to be a change where people are starting to get a little bit fed up with the open floor plan, if not because it's just oversaturated. Now it's cool to hate open floor plans. There's been so many think pieces about it, mostly related to offices, but it's totally cool to hate them now. So maybe we'll see some change. Who knows?
It's a hipster to hate open floor plans.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's your argument, though? So why do you so viscerally dislike this open floor plan tyranny that's taken over?
For me, I mean, I went to school to study acoustics, and so there is just no sonic privacy whatsoever. I mean, everything that you hear going on in the kitchen, you hear in like an internal volume of like thousands of square feet. There really is no privacy. I mean, for example, you know, people like these open floor plans when they first have kids because it allows them like greater supervision of the of children. But those children get older and they get annoying and you want to get away from them. And once they have some sort of autonomy, the desire becomes very different. But also, I think that they're energy inefficient, especially with these high ceiling volumes that continue to be so popular even today. And what's so clever about older houses is that they found ways to be comfortable without air conditioning through cross breezes, through strategic siting, through large windows, for example. Plenty of natural light comes with the ability to open those windows. So there are just other ways of keeping cool that are just generally more efficient, especially if we're thinking about like the future and having to reduce how much energy we consume in the face of climate change.
So do you think this is happening? So if it's hipster now to hate open floor plans, is this the first wave of a new kind of design trend? And what will that look like, you think?
It's interesting. I think it's sort of like a collapsing in on itself. It's not just going to happen, you know, all of a sudden. Housing trends sometimes go in and out of style for reasons we don't know or that we can't tie to material or socioeconomic or cultural features. In fact, it's been very hard for me as a researcher to pin down exactly why these things happen. Fewer people, I believe, are building like large suburban houses further and further out as sprawl continues to sprawl. I think that we're seeing a shift where more and more people are moving towards the city. And because of that, I mean, those houses and the housing stock there are very different. And it's extremely expensive to tear out walls. I don't think HGTV really fails to communicate that. But it's tearing down a wall is just not as easy as like getting a sledgehammer and a TV crew together. So I wonder if there are statistics on this, whether or not the kind of total HGTV gutting that you see on Fixer Upper is really happening that often in real life.
Well, we'll see what happens. That is Kate Wagner, the author of the architectural blog McMansion Hell. Kate, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.